Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is Official Declaration Number 2? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM, and we are continuing our study in Why the Priesthood Ban. This was a ban throughout much of Mormonism's history up until 1978 that prohibited those of African heritage, those of black skin, from holding the priesthood, which of course is necessary if a Mormon hopes to receive exaltation in godhood in the next life. But in 1978, this is when it all changed. And if you were to turn in your standard works, if you have a copy of them, go to the end of the Doctrine and Covenants, and you're going to find there that there are two declarations. Declaration 1 that deals with the subject of polygamy, and Declaration 2 that deals with this prohibition, blacks holding the priesthood. Declaration number 2 actually has a preamble, if you will, to it. It says, to whom it may concern, on September 30th, 1978, at the 148th Semi-Annual General Conference of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the following was presented by President N. Eldon Tanner, First Counselor in the First Presidency of the Church. N. Eldon Tanner was asked by President Kimball to read this letter that is dated June 8th, 1978, or a few months prior. We're not going to read the whole thing because of time constraints, but we are going to read the pertinent portion that's at the very beginning of this statement. So it starts off, "Dear brethren,
as we have witnessed the expansion of the work of the Lord over the earth, we have been grateful that people of many nations have responded to the message of the restored gospel and have joined the church in ever-increasing numbers. This, in turn, has inspired us with the desire to extend to every worthy member of the church all of the privileges and blessings which the gospel affords. Aware of the promises made by the prophets and presidents of the church who have preceded us at some time in God's eternal plan, all of our brethren who are worthy may receive the priesthood, and witnessing the faithfulness of those from whom the priesthood has been withheld, we have pleaded long and earnestly in behalf of these, our faithful brethren, spending many hours in the upper room of the temple supplicating the Lord for divine guidance. He has heard our prayers, and by revelation has confirmed that the long-promised day has come when every faithful, worthy man in the church may receive the holy priesthood with power to exercise its divine authority and enjoy with his loved ones every blessing that flows therefrom, including the blessings of the temple."
Now, it doesn't mean that blacks were not allowed to go to the temple at all up until this time. They were able to go to the temple and perform baptisms for the dead and such, but they were not allowed to go through the endowment ceremony, which, of course, is a very important aspect of the Mormon faith. I think what needs to be pointed out here is what it says. It says that he, speaking of God, has heard our prayers and by revelation has confirmed that the long-promised day has come when every faithful, worthy man in the church may receive the holy priesthood. Again, the question needs to be asked. If, in fact, as the modern LDS leadership is trying to say, that this was merely something that was based in speculation or folklore, why did they need a revelation to overturn it? Are you aware of any other type of folklore or speculation that the Mormon church has had to come out with a revelation in order to override it? I'm not aware of anything.
And that's a great point, and I think that needs to be brought out. And the same with polygamy. Polygamy was also a doctrine, and it had to have had the Official Declaration 1 come in 1890, and here in 1978, if it had just been mere speculation, they could have just addressed it at the conference and say, some of you are believing some things about the African Americans. Well, we've never taught that. Well, they could have said something like that. But no, they knew that it was doctrinal teaching, and they had to come up with this statement to be able to refute it.
The sad part about Declaration Number 2 is even though the Mormon Church is making an attempt to right the wrongs of the past, they do it with deception. And I mean that purposely. Again, I'm using language very purposely here. It says, aware of the promises made by the prophets and presidents of the church who have preceded us, that at some time in God's eternal plan, all of our brethren who are worthy may receive the priesthood, and witnessing the faithfulness of those from whom the priesthood has been withheld, we have pleaded long and earnestly in behalf of these, our faithful brethren. Where's the deception, you might ask? Well, aware of the promises made by the prophets and presidents of the church who have preceded us. As we have been pointing out in these past broadcasts, there was a promise that eventually blacks would be allowed to hold the priesthood, but none of them that we are aware of, and maybe someone can point this out and contradict the others of the past, they all pointed to this happening in the hereafter. It had to take place after this mortality. Some have even said after the millennium. So when he talks about the promises, Spencer Kimball, the first presidency, whoever put this thing together, it was the first presidency, Spencer Kimball, Eldon Tanner, Marion Romney, they're still not being totally honest with the people. Yeah, there was a promise, but it was not supposed to happen in 1978. It shouldn't have happened during this entire mortality. Of course, we know that the church was going through a lot of pressure at this time regarding their issues on race, and many people feel that it was because of this pressure that the church had to make this course correction. Now, of course, a Mormon would never admit that, because that shows that their leaders can be manipulated by pressure of the times.
Well, and the civil rights movement was more in the 1960s, and they made it all the way through there. And this is 1978, when it's amazing that it took that long. But I know, for instance, the WAC that they were part of, many of the
Western Athletic Conference.
For the school that they belonged to back then, the conference, a lot of the teams would not come. I know there were track teams that would not come and participate in any match with Brigham Young because of this policy. So I'm sure there was a lot of political pressure that was involved in finally making this call.
Now, some are probably saying that I've just made a very brash statement that the promise that these guys are talking about isn't really what happened, that the promise actually was dealing with something that would take place in the future. Let me support what I just said. According to Brigham Young, this was October 9th, 1859. You can find in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 290 and 291. This is what he said. How long is that race to endure the dreadful curse that is upon them? That curse will remain upon them, and they never can hold the priesthood or share in it until all the other descendants of Adam have received the promises and enjoyed the blessings of the priesthood and the keys thereof. Until the last ones of the residue of Adam's children are brought up to that favorable position, the children of Cain cannot receive the first ordinances of the priesthood. They were the first that were cursed, and they will be the last from whom the curse will be removed. When the residue of the family of Adam come up and receive their blessings, then the curse will be removed from the seed of Cain, and they will receive blessings in like proportion. The question that I would like to ask is, has that happened? Has that happened? Is what Brigham Young just described there, has that taken place? No, it hasn't. It hasn't taken place. Brigham Young didn't believe it was going to happen during this mortality. Yes, he believed it would eventually happen. There was a promise there, but it wasn't for this mortality. What did Joseph Fielding Smith say on this, Eric?
10th president, and he said this in Answers to Gospel Questions, Volume 2, page 188. Since Cain slew his brother Abel in order to obtain all the rights of priesthood to descend through his lineage, the Lord decreed that the children of Cain should not have the privilege of bearing the priesthood until Abel had posterity who could have the priesthood, and that will have to be in the far distant future. When this is accomplished on some other world, then the restrictions will be removed from the children of Cain who have been true to the second estate.
Now, why is he talking about Abel having posterity? We don't have any record that Abel had any posterity in his mortality before he was killed by his brother Cain. Obviously, this is something that's going to have to take place in the next life. And this is what Mormon leaders taught at that particular time on this issue. So we find that Declaration number 2 is not being totally honest with its membership. It's not being totally honest with non-members who are trying to understand what is obviously a very complex teaching. Let us go back and let's recap. It was because of the controversy of a BYU professor, Randy Bott, who was very candid in his comments and believing that God was engaged in discrimination And he justified that discrimination by, as Randy Bott said, protecting the black people from holding the priesthood, lest it be abused and they fall off the top of the ladder. Well, they couldn't have fallen off the top of the ladder, Mr. Bott said, because they were never there in the first place. We see that Mormon leaders have been very consistent in their views regarding the blacks throughout Mormon history. We don't see them all over the map. They seem to be very much in line with this idea that it had to be something that they did in the pre-existent life. In other words, it was done in a time period that they can't even remember in this mortality. Because according to Mormonism, all understanding or all memory of what took place in our pre-existence as one of God's spirit children has been wiped clean. Our hard drive has been wiped clean of any memory of what life was like back then. So here we have an entire group of people, those of black skin, members in the Mormon church, being punished. And that's the word that Mormon leaders have used. They've used the word punishment. They were not allowed to have the priesthood because of something they did wrong in the pre-existence. And that was what? Not being valiant enough for the cause of Christ in the war in heaven when Lucifer, Jesus' brother, rebelled against his father, Elohim. That's what Mormon leaders of the past have pointed to. Now, if you're a Latter-day Saint and you want to believe this statement that came out in February, that it was all based on speculation and it was all just based on opinion, then you have to ask yourself, are my leaders really so gullible? Are my leaders really so much lacking discernment that they cannot tell the difference between what is a teaching of God and what is really nothing more than speculation, opinion, or folklore? You have to ask yourself that question. Notice also, your leaders are merely protecting themselves. They are protecting the church. They're actually throwing their past leaders under the bus because according to the 14 Fundamentals of the Prophet by Ezra Taft Benson, you're not supposed to pit the living prophets against the dead prophets. Ask yourself why. Why can't you do this if they're all getting their information from the same source? Leaders of the past all pointed to God as being the source of this teaching. They have called it a doctrine. They never said that they practiced this based on speculation or folklore.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.